All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we're going to continue to focus on kind of the big picture environment here for markets, encompassing the data that we've been seeing and the lack of movements in terms of the Fed. But other central banks this week did start to taper, and we even had one kind of surprise where we got a full-on winding down of a QE program. I am chatting right now with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Now, Mike, again, big picture for these markets. I continue to hear a lot of negative comments about the markets because of the lack of breadth. The number of stocks that are holding these markets up and even grinding them higher seem to be fewer and fewer, and they seem to be really focused on big tech. Now, the fact of the matter is we are really in the middle of summer trading, it feels like. Volumes have declined, and quite frankly, this is sometimes what we see, a more concentrated effort into some of the bigger name stocks. And again, these high-flying tech stocks, they really seem to be the place where when traders want to shut off their screens, they just put some money to work in these big tech stocks. Let's start off general market environment. Mike, what do you take away from this summer trading that we're seeing right now?
Sure. You know, you're absolutely right in terms of market breadth just not being as impressive as it was earlier this year. When I go through kind of the portfolio and Safe Money and just, you know, all of the different kinds of stocks and sectors I follow, I see that there are quite a few of them lagging. I mean, you can see something like the Russell 2000, small cap stocks underperforming. But you do have those big cap tech names, or, you know, the old FANG names we used to call them, that have been the go-tos for people to buy. Some of that stems from, you know, the interest rate pressure. I mean, these sort of infinite multiple, high multiple tech companies, to some degree, are dependent on what's happening with interest rates. The higher rates go, the higher growth picks up, the more people rotate into cyclicals and sell tech as those long-term interest rates rise. What we've seen more recently is, you know, despite some incredibly strong inflation readings, We've seen longer-term interest rates actually moderate over the last 4 or 5 months. They first flatlined the yield curve, then they sort of topped out and started rolling over a little bit. The yield curve is flat, and then all those are kind of contrary to what you might expect to happen when you get really strong inflation data. But what that's done is spilled over into reviving some of those old trades. You know, buy high multiple tech, companies that aren't as cyclical, they're more secular growers. Buy things like rotate some money back into things like utilities, and especially real estate investment trusts. REITs have done very, very well recently because, you know, when you remove that sort of upward pressure on long-term interest rates, it removes some of the downward pressure on those rate-sensitive stocks and sectors. So again, it's sort of the return to those trades that we had many, many moons ago. And what that has done concurrently is sort of leave the small caps and some of the financials by the wayside. They've started to lose some ground here. So interesting market dynamic. Some of it's seasonal, some of it's rate driven, and some of it's just, the fact that there's still money out there, excess liquidity out there looking for a place to go. And in this case, it continues to flow back into stock. Occasionally we get these little mini tantrums, the so-called Powell pivot that happened a few weeks back. But what happened? I mean, that sell-off lasted a couple of days, and then, 48, 72 trading hours later, we're right back to the races in terms of big cap averages, S&P going right back to new highs. So it's still a market that's in this money flood environment. It's still a market where there's a lot of liquidity sloshing around. And all else being equal, that's going to tend to send the big cap major averages, the stocks that make up those averages, higher.
Mike, how much do we need to be paying attention to the aspect that markets are forward-looking, right? And we did get some inflationary moves and spikes, especially in the commodities, a year ago and even 6 months ago. But recently, as the data has come in and inflation has spiked in the actual data terms, we're not seeing that inflation trade anymore. Is this really all about the markets being forward-looking and already pricing in a way, some of that inflation, and now they're pricing in the transitory nature of the inflation potentially?
A couple things going on. Obviously, as you pointed out, we were at very depressed levels last March, April, May, whether that's commodity prices, stock prices, economic growth, all up and down the line. And then off those levels, I mean, 10-year interest rates essentially tripled from, 50 basis points to over 1.5 percentage point We saw a lot of movement in whether it's commodities. I mean, things like lumber grabbed all the attention, but it wasn't just lumber. It was all the soft commodities. It was copper. It was, you know, other metals that are economically sensitive and so on. And we also saw equities perform very well. But again, a lot of that was driven not just by sort of the rebound off the depths of the COVID-driven recession. It was also driven by expectations of huge fiscal stimulus. We're still talking about big fiscal spending numbers here in the U.S., but some of that, you know, some of that is moderating a little bit because of some political resistance to the associated price tags. We've seen some of those, you know, infrastructure type plays pull off. I mean, not, you know, crash or anything serious, but you have seen, you know, some of those names come off the boil. And on top of that, the other issue that you have with all these inflation figures is they're grabbing headlines. They're making, you know, the media is getting increasingly hostile towards the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve's, you know, stated stance that all this stuff is transitory. The media is doing it, public commentary is doing it, you know, and what that does is it, again, builds in some political resistance. It kind of makes people think, is the Fed really going to be able to stick with this average inflation targeting program? Is the Biden administration really going to be able to continue to push through trillions of dollars of spending if there's more political and public resistance to it? So I think part of what's happening, particularly in the bond market, is people are saying, you know, we're not going to get as much of this stimmy spending, or we're not going to get as much future inflation. So that's why, you know, you've seen yields, again, going all the way back to February, kind of topping out at first moving sideways and now coming down somewhat. I think, again, it's just sort of a realization that there's a lot of long-term factors that are going to restrain growth, whether it's demographics, structural issues, all the debt we've piled on top of the economy. Some of those things you and I have talked about before, those long-term issues never went away. And now you have a shorter-term issue of maybe a little less stimulus money coming in. Maybe the Fed being forced to kind of, you know, throw a bone to the anti-inflationists and talk a little tougher. So all that coming together flattens the yield curve, and it tends to change which kinds of stocks are leading and which kinds of stocks are lagging, which we've already kind of covered a little bit here. It's those long-term rate-sensitive names, whether it's tech, utilities, REITs, and so on. They're starting to find buyers again. And I would also throw precious metals and mining shares in there after a pretty rough stretch after, you know, sort of the Powell tough talk that we got. Now even those are starting to base a little bit here and turn up a little bit. So it all kind of points to, again, you remove that long-term interest rate pressure, you're going to get some of those rate-sensitive names that are going to attract buyers again.
Do you take anything away from some of the central bank announcements this week? The Reserve Bank in New Zealand surprisingly decided to end their QE program this month. Royal Bank of Canada, or the Bank of Canada, announced that they were trimming some of their QE purchases, didn't move their interest rates. Do you think any of these other central banks that are starting to get a little bit tighter, especially the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, do you think this carries over to the Fed at all?
You know, I think what it likely does potentially here is take some of the steam out of the U.S. dollar. We've seen one of the reasons gold and silver had come down and we saw some other related sectors suffer was because the U.S. dollar popped on some of the, you know, assumption that maybe the Fed is going to pivot a little bit here. But if you have the Fed, and indeed you have Jay Powell coming out this week and talking down expectations really for doing much in the near and intermediate term future before Congress, but at the same time, a couple of these foreign central banks begin to take steps towards dialing back QE or actually doing it, then you could see the U.S. dollar start to roll over a little bit here. So I think what that, again, if that is sort of beneficial to those long-term rate-sensitive things and also to companies and sectors that do better when the dollar is declining, such as precious metals. So that's probably the impact we're going to see. I don't think the Fed is going to follow in the footsteps of some of these foreign central banks anytime soon. Powell is definitely taking sort of the Biden administration approach to employment and not worrying about inflation and so on. And all of his public remarks seem to be basically counter to that idea. They're going to try and be peremptory. So you'll have a few people, a few of the people sitting at the table in the Federal Reserve that are going to push back. For example, Dallas Fed, Kaplan has already talked a little tougher and so on. But the central core of the Fed, you know, sort of where the locus of power is, those people don't seem to be ready to shift. So I don't think that they're going to follow what Canada has done or New Zealand has done anytime soon.
Yeah, you're right. Powell sure has been pretty steadfast with his comments and his stance on where inflation is going and what the Fed is doing. I don't know. It doesn't seem like we're going to get any drastic change from Powell or the Fed anytime soon, but who knows? Maybe they'll start talking the market in a different direction. So, Mike, do you see any major shifts, any major trends developing here as we progress through summer, which, again, circling back to my initial comment, seems to be like it's going to be a slow trading summer?
So, yeah, I think you definitely, even what's happening in, with the interest rate environment, is you want to be refocusing on those income-oriented stocks and sectors. You want to be refocusing on things that had maybe had a little bit of a lid on them because of rising interest rates, such as precious metal. If you see, you know, the dollar begin to come off again, if you see yields begin to or continue to decline and the curve flatten, that's going to remove that sort of governor, that sort of cap that you had on some of those sectors. And that's going to make, you know, that's going to make interest, you know, yield oriented names perform even better. So I always liked them for their business prospects. Some of these higher yielding companies and sectors like REITs and utilities and so on. Now, if you remove the governor that was holding them back, you've got the potential for some nice gains in addition to the, you know, just the fact you're clipping a better yield that you can get in the treasury market. So that's what I would focus on. And I think that's probably in addition to some of those big cap tech. Those are probably some of the names and sectors that are going to do pretty well heading out the rest of the summer.
Okay. Hey, Mike, great having you on the show, buddy. We're going to wrap it up here. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this weekend show. I know summer trading can be a little bit slow, but hey, we're still here commentating on the markets and trying to do a lot of company interviews, too, to keep everybody up to date on the moves and the work that's being done by a lot of these resource companies. And unfortunately, this is a time where the market isn't noticing a lot of good work being done. But as more investors come back, then look to those companies that have been putting out some good news and also understand this environment that we are in that I think Mike outlined perfectly. Mike, thank you, as always, for your time on this weekend show. Everybody, Mike, you included, I hope you all have a great weekend.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.